These guys are there. They cover the games. They're in the locker room. They're firing off questions at press conferences, and they're taking you with them. So, strap up your chin strap and get ready to roll, because you too can be a part of the Griffin Grins Show.
Well, we definitely are in the locker room. I don't know if we're firing off questions during the press conference, but we're there. We're there. Not usually at the press conferences, but whatever. So, in the first hour of the show, we told you that we were going to have Kenan Wetzel on, kind of a cross between Michael Jordan and Steven Spielberg. Also has some of the best hair. So, if film and basketball don't work out for him, he could always star in one of those, like, men's crew commercials or something.
Like a Tresemme commercial.
A Tresemme,
like in the shower,
yeah.
Flips the hair back. Looking
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So, right now, we have Kenan Wetzel on the show. Hopefully it's Kenan. Is this Kenan?
This is Kenan, yeah. Oh yeah.
Awesome. So maybe the second half of the show is going to go a little bit better than first. But Kenan, you guys just got done with practice preparing for the Oklahoma Sooners. What can you guys expect out of this Oklahoma team that you're going to be playing later rather than sooner? That's my terrible pun for the day. Tomorrow night.
No, they're a good team. They're a tremendous scoring team. The Big 12 has scored a lot of points. They got a lot of guys that can shoot the ball, some bigs that are really active. We actually played them last year, and we got a big lead on them, but they actually came back, and it's pretty good. So, we know them a little bit, but they're certainly really talented offensively.
Now, with the way that this bracket has worked out so far, especially in the East region, a lot of people have you guys picked as a favorite to win this bracket out and emerge in the Final Four. What is Coach Izzo doing to kind of keep you guys grounded and, you know, keep that chip on your shoulder?
But we really don't have to, because we're in a tiny little locker room because we're 17, and there's constant reminders all the time that we're not the favorite. So, we know that we were the 7th seed coming in, and nobody's picking us. And earlier in the year, people are calling us the worst team in Coach Izzo's era and stuff. So we've kept that chip on our shoulder, and we're not buying into all the hype now.
Now, it's kind of interesting that you guys were the 7th seed, because a lot of people thought that you were a little bit underseeded going into this, and maybe you should have been a 6th seed or maybe even a 5th seed. Oklahoma's a 3 seed, and they have one less win and one less loss than you guys, so you pretty much have identical records. Yet they come out with this 3 seed, and you guys with the 7th seed. Now, I know it doesn't really make a big difference to you guys, but what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that you're more competitive than that seed really indicates?
Well, I think certainly we've proven that, but at the same time, seeding is based off the regular season. It's not based too much off of how hot you got or any of those type of things. UCLA makes it to the 3-16 and they. Or a 10 seed or whatever they were, and just barely made it in. But that doesn't mean the seed was necessarily wrong. I mean, they have statistics to figure out, and the Big 12 was statistically very good this year against other conferences. So the Big 12 got a lot of love this year. So it all makes sense, and you just want to get in a position where you can play the teams and advance.
Absolutely. Now, the number one overall seed in this tournament is the Kentucky Wildcats, undefeated so far this year. And on the first hour of the show, we got into a little bit of the one-and-done rule in college basketball. Now, Michigan State, this isn't really something that has affected many people, but at Kentucky, it affects almost everybody that ever puts on that Wildcats jersey. What are your thoughts on this one-and-done rule, and why don't we see a whole lot of players leave after a single season at Michigan State?
Well, my personal thoughts are, anytime you can go and make money professionally, you have a short-term, career, 10, 12 years at the most. 4 years is, I think, the average, a little bit more than NFL, but not by much. So I think kids should be able to go whenever they're able to. I find it interesting that they have the one college year. I just think it's just the 1 year in college rule. I feel like it should be 2 or none at all. But with that being said, Kentucky certainly found that market of one-and-dones, and it's kind of turned into an NBA factory. And there's nothing wrong with that. They just have kind of cornered that market, and you'll see that they have really talented years, talented teams 1 year, and the next year that they're not as good. And so their consistency isn't always there, but they certainly get a lot of talented players.
When Coach Izzo does his recruiting, does he tell his players that he wants them to stay all 4 years, or is he okay with them leaving after 1 or 2?
Our coach would be totally okay with guys leaving after 1 if that was the best thing for their family. I mean, each situation is different, but you know, after Gary Harris's first year, if it would have been appropriate that he, you know, coach, I don't know the exact conversation, but if it would have been appropriate for him to go, coach would have advised him to go. You know, coach isn't, you know, he cares about the kids more than anybody. So if it's the right decision, coach would totally, we would recruit the one and done. We would do that. And, you know, if it makes sense after 1 year, he would advise him to go. So we're not any different. It's just that Kentucky tends to get those players.
Awesome. So I don't know if you saw this story yet. You were probably at practice, but in Coach Dean Smith's will, he willed $200 to every single one of his former players. So kind of a cool gesture, and that got me thinking, if Coach Izzo were to pass, and God forbid that ever happened, but if he were to will something to his former players, what do you think that he would will?
Jeez, I can't imagine him willing money. it doesn't seem like his style. I don't know, man. That's trying to think. Maybe, I don't know, maybe an article or something that he liked. We get a lot of articles around here of, like, you know, something he watched or a 30 for 30 DVD or something like that he watched.
So, I hate Christian Laettner.
We watched on the bus all together. That was a pretty good one.
Yeah.
But we met Coach Boeheim from Syracuse today, and the Big East one was really good, and Coach mentioned that to him. So
I feel like if Coach Izzo or Coach D'Antonio willed us something after their passing, it would involve us doing some kind of hard physical work.
Yeah, it's like when you go to reconciliation, they give you like a penance. I feel like that's what they would give us. Like, I'll do 50 sprints or something. Do the war drill 100 times.
Sad thing is, I don't think that's too far off from reality. So we want to talk a little bit about your film career. You have done a great job of balancing life as a student athlete and also having some other interests as well. And film's one of them. You know, it's what you studied in school. And you recently came out with a short film, The Cager. Tell everybody a little bit about The Cager. How did you come up with that idea? Talk about filming, the release, and everything.
Well, I wanted to do a basketball film for my first film, and I also wanted to work with Del Monroe, who's a former basketball player here. And so I wrote a script last year, actually right about this time. We were in Spokane, Washington. I finished the script and sent it to Delvon, and we subsequently raised the funds and produced a film, a 25-minute short film, and premiered it in Lansing about a month ago. So, yeah, it's been an amazing experience. It was kind of, I'll say, my thesis for my degree and all that stuff that I wasn't able to get. And, you know, as you guys know, you can't do as many projects or clubs like everybody else. So I kind of made this kind of my project that I was able to do for, like, the last year.
So what's the storyline of the film?
The storyline is about a former college basketball player. He gets hurt, and after that, it's about 5 years later when we pick up the film, and he's kind of struggling whether he wants to stay with his current kind of family situation. He's got a daughter and a girlfriend, and he's trying to decide if he wants to stay with them or he wants to kind of take the easy road out. And so we kind of just follow a day in his life.
Awesome. So I saw on Twitter that there was a big premiere up at NCG. You guys rolled out the red carpets, and Coach Izzo was there. A lot of former players, current players also were there. How would the public be able to see The Cager if they wanted to?
We're still working on what's the best way, because right now you have to follow kind of film festival rules. And so we have to figure out, we just actually got just accepted to a film festival. I can't say which one yet, but, you know, we're starting to send out to those. And then eventually, hopefully, someone will buy it, or we'll put it up for video on demand, like on iTunes or something, and people can rent it and watch it on there for like $1 or something. So we're just trying to figure out what's the best way to kind of distribute it right now.
Well, that's awesome, because I think a lot of people definitely want to catch that film when they get a chance. So now that your first major film is in the books, what are your future plans as far as filming goes?
Right now I'm working on another little project that the media information college is working on. So I'm directing one part of a feature-length film, actually 1/6 of the film. And after that, I'm probably going to work in Lansing next year for a marketing company there to direct commercials. I'm getting yelled at from the other room, but you know, I just plan on writing and directing commercials and then hopefully eventually raising the money to do a feature-length film.
So that's what you want to do in 5 years from now. You want to be working on a feature-length film, maybe somewhere a little bit warmer than Lansing?
Yeah, I mean, eventually I want to move to L.A., but I'm in no rush because, you know, the market isn't going anywhere, and you know, Lansing, I have a job that I can do and get better and improve my skills. But then again, if somebody offers me a job in LA next year, I'll take it. So I know that's what the industry is. So, it's exciting and nerve-wracking, but, yeah, that's definitely what I want to do.
Well, that's awesome. It's great to see Spartans doing big things both on and off the court. For the listeners that want your great hair, what kind of shampoo do you use?
Yeah, I don't have a really crazy shampoo story to give you. It's like an Old Spice shampoo, so there's not much secret in that. I suppose it's just about styling it, I guess.
And Keenan, if you're looking to cast like a bigger Brad Pitt look, my phone's always open. You can call. All right.
Oh, well, I'm not against that. You know, I don't want to cut my hair yet because we're kind of on a roll right now. So I don't want to, maybe after the season or something in a couple weeks. But
kind of like a playoff beard.
It's a playoff beard, but I can't grow a beard, so it's a playoff mop top.
Well, I like it, and hopefully it's enough to get the Spartans through against the Sooners tomorrow night. I promise you everybody's going to be watching here. It's going to be packed. And all the fine drinking establishments throughout Lansing. So we're looking forward to it. Best of luck, Keenan, and thank you for joining us on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
All right, well, that was Keenan Wetzel. Again, just so interesting, all the stuff that he's been able to do. Find time to make a feature-length movie. Not quite a feature-length movie, but a movie nonetheless, while still being a student-athlete. Mind-boggling. Call in 517-485-7925. We're going to keep taking your calls about the one and done rule. Interested to hear your opinions. Stick with us. We'll be back soon.
Looking for office furniture on a budget? Stop by the Office Outlet at 516 North Larch in downtown Lansing and save. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 6. The Office Outlet has a huge selection of new and used office furniture from brand name manufacturers, all at discounted prices. Save 50 to 90% on used seating, desks, files, and more. The Office Outlet is your destination for office furniture on a budget. Visit us online at officeoutletyes.com.
This is Phil Tripp from Tripp's Auto Shop and Collision Centers. If you've had an accident with your vehicle, negotiating with the insurance company is not something you do every day. It can be confusing or even intimidating. At Tripp's Auto Shop and Collision Centers, we can help. We work with all insurance companies, but we work for you. We'll get your vehicle repaired properly and back on the road as quick as possible, and we'll cover up to $500 of your insurance deductible or a rental car. Tripp's Auto Shop and Collision Centers. With the right repair, is no accident.
Finding the right customers for your business can be difficult, but not for Deep Blue Insights. You know who your customers are. Deep Blue Insights uses software to identify customer behavior in large batches of data. These insights teach us more about your customers and results in more effective marketing strategies. Of course, the end goal is to increase sales and decrease costs. Big or small, the approach is the same. Build a solution that achieves your goals. Make every dollar count. Contact Deep Blue Insights today at deepblueinsights.com.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy offers one-on-one personal care by a certified orthopedic manual physical therapist. We provide evidence-based treatment using our highly trained hands, state-of-the-art equipment, as well as modalities such as ultrasound and electrical stimulation to assist in reaching your goals. Trust our hands with your health and visit peakperformanceompt.com for your one-hour personal evaluation and treatment plan that will allow you to jump back in to the game of life. That's peakperformanceompt.com.
This is the Griff and Grin Show, a Spotlight production.
To 1 FM.
Talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice.
Lansing Sports Talk Leader.
Practice. Not a game. Practice. We got the big Michigan State basketball game coming up tomorrow, but today we have practice. Spring football practice. And this is something we're going to talk about a little bit later on in the show. If you got questions about spring ball or one and done, or Keenan Wetzel's hair. Who cares? Call in 517-485-7925. This is the Griff and Grin Show with Mike and Travis. A little bit of a change of pace. So earlier in the show, we talked about the one and done deal. And we talked to Mike Griffith, a caller, and also Keenan Wetzel, and kind of got their insights. And Mike didn't think it was a great thing for the NCAA, kind of against the mission of the NCAA to, you know, promote student athletes getting an education, but at the same time allowing them to leave after 1 year and get all the money. Keenan didn't have a problem with this. It didn't seem like Coach Izzo had a problem with this either. You know, if it's in the best, if it's the best decision for a student athlete to leave college early and go make that money, then so be it. From one of our callers, we heard that maybe it would be better if we modeled it after the NHL, where you can draft a prospect at a young, early age. You have the rights over that player, and then you can sign them. You can do whatever you want with them later on. So we've had a bunch of different opinions on this, a bunch of different ways to handle it, to fix the system, if it even needs fixing. So definitely an interesting topic that we could talk about for the whole show. So if you guys want to call in and offer your opinions, feel free to do that. Check out my Twitter account. I tweeted out the number to call in if you don't have a pen and paper ready. So we're going to turn our attention to spring ball now. Spring ball, Michigan State football practice, outdoors in the cold weather. Really the first chance for these guys to put on football pads since the bowl game. What do you look for at a spring practice?
You know, those first two spring practices are tough because they're both shorts practices and you don't wear any shoulder pads. And for an offensive lineman, there's not much you can do, but they still put you out there and you're going against the defense. So it's kind of those first 2 days where you're getting acclimated, but you just want to put pads on so bad and it hit someone. And so these first 2 days are tough, but the things that you look for in these first 2 days is, you know, guys not making mental errors. Guys being knowing the playbook, knowing what they're supposed to do, going to those bags and doing what they have to do. And, talking to some of the coaches, being around the building, they felt like Tuesday was a really great day for them across the board, not only with their ones, but also with their twos. So that was great to hear, and not a lot of mental mistakes. But, you know, after the second day of shorts, you know, things get a little heated and, you know, little scuffles start to break out. So I'll be excited. I'll be there Saturday because that's the first day they put pads on, and I'm excited to watch that.
Yeah, spring ball is great, and the players really look forward to it because after the bowl game, the only thing that they're doing is running a lot during our winter conditioning program and lifting. So there's no real football during that time. Obviously, you're going to be watching film with your coaches and trying to get a head start as much as you can. But this is the first time that the coaches are allowed to be out there working with the players with actual footballs. We work with towels and tennis balls to try to make it as realistic as possible while still staying in the boundaries of the rules set by the NCAA. But nothing's quite like a spring practice. It's something that everybody's looking forward to. It's really the first chance for this team to kind of take their shape. We had about a dozen or so departing seniors. They're no longer with the team. So this is really a chance for that team to find their identity for this upcoming fall.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. The offense is losing a lot at the wide receiver position. So that's going to be a big question mark. And then you got the D-backs on defense. So, those are two tough parts that they're going to have to figure out. But you always have that guy that steps up. Kind of takes leadership and has a big game. And, you know, looking at those guys after losing Tony Lippitt, Keith Mumphrey, those guys, you got A.J. Troop, Aaron Burbridge, Monty Medeiros, De'Anthony Arnett. And, you know, out of those guys, Trey Barksdale, you know, we have to have a couple of these guys step up. And knowing these guys, knowing their character, and knowing that they're game time players, I can't wait to see them. I'm specifically excited to watch A.J. Troop because he's got the size, he's got the speed, he's got the talent. So I'm really excited at that position.
Troop's definitely going to be a good player for us. And now we have a caller. So who are we on the phone with? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, who's this?
Hi, my name is Ellie. I go to Forest Hills Northern, and you're apparently alumni here?
I did attend Forest Hills Northern back in the day.
Yeah, so did you think that, like, you playing on the football team here at Northern really prepped you for your success in football?
It was a unique experience playing for the Forest Hills Northern Huskies back in the day because we weren't very good. I won about exactly 5 games in 4 years. So it's good to see that the coaches have turned that program around. But, yeah, I definitely got my punting in back in the day.
That is very cool. I'm, like, in a big 6-hour AP Lang class right now, and we all wanted to call you because we heard you on the radio. And it's a party.
Well, great. Nothing like those high school parties.
Yes, we're all very proud of you here at Forest Hills Northern. We want you to come back and visit.
Okay, I will be sure to stop by next time I'm back home, okay?
All right.
All right, well, thank you for calling in. And now we are going to get back to spring ball.
Wait, I have a question before we get back to spring ball here, Mike.
Okay. I don't like where this is going so far. I really don't like this.
That was too awesome.
Can we talk about this for a little bit? So we see popular with the high school girls still.
Dude, it's that 17 magazine.
Yeah,
man.
17 magazine. Hottest football player, Mike Sadler, with us here. Mike, I'm curious. Did you play any other positions in high school other than punter?
I was a kicker. Back in the day, way back in the day, like freshman or sophomore year, I was a safety and a wide receiver. Not a very good one, but good enough to start on a team that won 5 games in 4 years. I played safety, and we were getting just creamed by Lowell, just completely waxed. Like, it was like probably like 40-0, like 3 minutes into the game. So I'm chasing down somebody after they break an 80-yard run. I have no idea why, because it's not going to change the course of the game. Dive after, I'm going to just break my shoulder just clean through. So that was kind of interesting. Had to go back in the game after we botched an extra point snap and try to throw a pass after that. Wasn't happening. So after that fun experience, I only punted and kicked because it just wasn't for me. So yeah, that was really my experience at Forest Hills Northern. Kind of an interesting time for a football player.
Good to see that your fan base is still mainly high school girls.
You know, I think that we just have great language skills if an AP English class is listening to us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm honored and I'm glad that I think it was Ellie called. You know, I think it was our third caller ever. So thanks to you, Ellie.
Yeah, so that's good. Do we have another one? No, we don't have another one. The technical difficulties abound here. That's what happens when you put us in a studio. So going back to spring ball, we just released our 2015 spring depth chart as of March 24th. No real surprises here. We're going to go over the spring depth chart when we get back. Tell you about some minor changes and what to expect. Stick with us. 92.1 FM, the team. Mike Sadler with Travis Jackson. Stay here. We're going to have some more fun.